You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. This week, I'd like to take a look at Mizmor Kuf Kaf Aleph, another one of the Shirei HaMa'alot, one of the series of Mizmorim which start with the word Shir HaMa'alot. And this Mizmor is one of those very famous Mizmorim, you know, the type which spills easily from people's lips, because, first of all, it is recited frequently, right, on fast days, on other somber occasions, and because it has also been set to many well-loved tunes, right, and because of this, people are very familiar with it. Like many Mizmorim of that sort, we nevertheless, despite its familiarity, don't always look at it carefully. And so that's what I would like to do today. The trickiest part of understanding this Mizmor is to try to understand what is the situation which is being discussed, right? Who is speaking to whom and about what, right? As we'll see, this question isn't so simple. The Mizmor starts off with the speaker speaking about his situation. Shir lema'alot, esa einai el heharim, me'ayin yavo ezri. Right, I look towards the mountains. I lift my eyes towards the mountains. Why? We will talk about in a moment. From where will my assistance come? And then he answers his own question. Ezri me'im Hashem, oseh shamayim ba'aretz. My assistance will come from Hashem. Now, according to some, such as the Ibn Ezra and the Radak, Pasuk Bet is meant to be a contrast with Pasuk Aleph. Right? The person who is speaking is in need of some sort of help, and he looks towards the hills in hope that someone or a group of people will come from afar. Right? When he looks to the hills, he's looking off to the distance to the horizon, that assistance will come from afar to help him against his enemies, his troubles, whatever it is that is troubling him. But then he realizes, right, in Pasuk Bet, that he need not look toward the hills, right, toward some distant location for some human being to come and help him. Rather, as Rime'im Hashem, right, his help will come from God. Then, suddenly in Pasuk Gimel, it's no longer clear who exactly is speaking. Pasuk Gimel says, Al yiten lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. He will not allow your legs to falter. Right? Al yanum shomrecha, it's like a prayer of sorts. It should be that the one who watches over you should not sleep. Right? Or perhaps it's a statement, right? A promise of sorts, a prediction. Al yanum shomrecha, right? That he will not fall asleep. Now the Radak, for example, understands the situation here, right, is that the tzara, the difficulty that the speaker is in, has to do with the tzara of galut, right, of the tzara, the difficulty of the people of Am Yisrael in exile. And here, in Pasuk Gimel, Al Yitein Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomrecha, it was something that the people would say to each other, to comfort each other, to encourage each other, right? Hashem will not allow your legs to falter. Things look bad, but it will be okay, right? Hashem will not sleep, right? Even in the galut, where it might seem like Hashem is sleeping, Hashem is not sleeping. Others suggest a slightly different situation. The Ibn Ezra seems to think that we're talking about a situation of a matzor, of some sort of siege, and that is perhaps, I mean, Ibn Ezra doesn't spell this out, but perhaps he's implying that that's why the speaker is looking towards the hills. He's stuck there in this besieged city and looking out towards the hills to see if some assistance will come from afar. Let's look now through the rest of the psukim just to see how this theme follows through. Right, we just said that Hashem, the words of comfort that are being said to one another, that Hashem will not allow his legs to falter, right? Hashem will not sleep. Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael, right? Right, connecting to the end of Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, declares, right, that Hashem does not sleep. He who watches over Yisrael does not sleep. Hashem shomrecha, Hashem tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Hashem watches over you. Will watch over you. Will watch over you. He is at your right side. Right, he is standing beside you. Yomam Hashemesh lo yakeka. Right, the previous pasuk Hashem tzilcha al yad yiminecha. It'll be like Hashem is like your shade. He shades you. He protects you from the sun in the daylight, so that it won't smite you. It won't harm you. Via reach balayla. And also protects you from the moon at night, right? That seems to be a little bit less understandable than the sun. The sun we understand if you're walking long distance or if you're outside, right? Or perhaps the sun is a metaphor for other types of things that can harm you, right? The shadow of Hashem, the shade of Hashem will protect you from all of these things. But the yareach, we don't generally think of the yareach as something that's harmful. Different mefarshim suggest different things, either that it represents the opposite of the sun during the day, right? At night, you're protected from the cold, and even though the moon doesn't really make the cold, but perhaps it's simply symbolic, right, of the opposite of the heat of the sun. Other commentaries suggest that maybe it has to do with certain beliefs or misconceptions that existed at one point about the moon, right, connected to ideas of lunacy, right, that the moon can have all sorts of odd effects on people. In all cases, Hashem here is that he who will protect this person during the day and at night as well, meaning 24 hours a day. Right, because after all, right, he he's awake 24/7. Hashem yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Right, Hashem will protect you from all sorts of evils that will come your way. Will protect you, your very body. Right, nafshecha. Hashem yishmor tzeitcha uvoecha me'ata ve'adolam. Right, Hashem will protect you in your comings and your goings. Right, wherever you go, forever. Right, me'ata ve'adolam. Right, so if you understanding according to what we saw briefly in the Radak or in the Ibn Ezra, right, there is some sort of tzara that this individual, or perhaps this individual is symbolic of all of Am Yisrael, some sort of tzara, some sort of trouble that they are in, right, be it the more abstract trouble of the galut or a more specific trouble of something like a siege, and the words of comfort that are being tossed around by the people of the time is that Hashem will indeed protect this individual or will protect Am Yisrael, right, in all situations from all sorts of evil. A different approach is suggested in the Da'at Mikra commentary, one which we will see seems to be hinted in a Midrash, right? So although the Da'at Mikra commentary is a fairly new commentary, it's quite possible that this was already hinted to in a Midrash, which of course is a very old commentary. And according to this Perush, the words Esa Einai El Harim, right, I lift my eyes up to the hills, is being said not by someone who's trapped in a difficult situation, right, who's looking to the horizon with hope that someone will appear who will help pull him out of that difficult situation. But rather, according to this Perush, this commentary, the speaker is someone who himself is about to head for the hills, right? Someone who's sitting out in that direction. The Perush says the following. Hold on, sorry. Katuv ze ne'emar bilshon adam hayotze laderech ha'overet beharim. This pasuk is said in the way of a person who is heading out, right, on a journey, which passes through hills, right? A difficult journey, let's say, that passes through hills. V'hu meirim et einav el harim shehu atid la'avor behem v'shoel et atzmo. Right? He looks up at the hills before him, right? The difficult journey ahead, and says, Klum yesh ben haharim ha'ele mi sheyavo le'ezrati v'yagen alai mipnei poraniyot ha'mizdamnot le'ovrei drachim. Is there nobody who, somewhere in the middle of these hills, can come to my help and protect me from all of the difficult and bad things that can come upon me, or come upon people who are journeying? Right. The situation being described here by this parish is very different, right? It's someone not who is stuck in a well-known bad situation, but someone who's heading off on a journey, someone who is faced basically by the unknown, right? Who knows that there could be difficult things ahead, but he's heading into those difficult things, and he's concerned that he's heading into it, that he's heading into it alone, right? So it's a very different way of looking at the Mizmor. The rest of the Mizmor is basically a conversation between this individual, or not so much a conversation, but a response of the original question, Esanael Harim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri, a response by someone who is sending him off, right? He is setting out, and there is somebody who's kind of there sending him off and wishing him well, right? Basically blessing him with a safe journey. Now, what is nice about this explanation is that while the rest of the Mizmor can certainly be understood as talking about God's protection in a variety of situations, right, such as those described by the Radak and the Ibn Ezra, for example, they really do seem to fit the situation of a journey very well. The wish or prediction that God will not allow this person's legs to become weary, right? That the Hashem will protect this person from the sun and from the moon, right? That Hashem will protect him when he leaves and when he returns, right? What we have here, in essence, is the original Tefillat HaDerech. In this case, not said by the person who was actually traveling, but by somebody who is wishing the traveler well. Now, as I mentioned, this approach, although it doesn't appear in the medieval commentary, seems to be hinted at in Bereshit Rabbah, right at the very beginning of Parshat Vayetze, on the pasuk Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva. Right, in that story, Yaakov has just stolen the blessing from his older brother Esav. Esav is very angry, and he's about to run away from home and run off to his uncle's house, to Laban's house, both to get away from his brother who wants to kill him and also to find himself a wife. The Midrash basically interprets our Mizmor as talking about the story of Yaakov Avinu as he's leaving home, right? Leaving Be'er Sheva as he runs away from Esav and to Laban's house in search of a wife. Now, the details of the Midrash and how it interprets each part of the Mizmor as being about Yaakov really tells us more about the way that Chazal understood the story of Yaakov leaving home. And actually, although this is not the moment to do a study of it, it's actually a really great midrash, which very, very cleverly alludes to many of the central themes of the story, connecting it to the Mizmor in very clever ways, if you read the midrash carefully. But I'll let you go off and do that on your own. It's not the central purpose of our podcast today. But essentially, right, most of the Midrash is a commentary on Bereshit, right, where Chazal are expressing things about the story about Yaakov. But in one respect, it is clear that this Midrash is reflecting something of Chazal's understanding of our Mizmor, right? It's always important when you're looking at a Perush, right, at a commentary, be it, a medieval commentary like Rashi or even a Midrash, to see what words the commentary is speaking about. So in this case, right, the words are Vayetze Yaakov, right? This is the story of Yaakov setting out on a journey, right? And Chazal understood by using this Mizmor as the template of understanding the story of Yaakov leaving home, they understood that that's what this Mizmor is talking about, right? That this Mizmor is talking about a person who's about to embark on a journey, right? And that many of the elements of the story of Yaakov are indeed parallel to the motifs found in the Mizmor, right? So in that very subtle way, we learn that whoever is the author of that Midrash saw that this Mizmor is talking about the same thing that the story in Bereshit Perek Chet is talking about, right? About somebody who's setting off into the unknown on a journey which can certainly have many difficulties that the person doesn't know exactly what they're facing and wondering whether they will get through it, right? Is there anybody there? Any sort of friendly face, so to speak, who will help them, right? Important part of the Yaakov story to recall is that shortly after he leaves home, Hashem promises him that he will be there, that he will watch over him, right? And he will bring him back home. So in that way, right, we see that the new commentary in the Tzat Mikra is really, it seems, a very old commentary, a very old way of understanding Mizmor Kuf Kaf Aleph, right, the original Tefillat HaDerech. Shabbat Shalom, Umevorach.